Let's pick up from the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara, four lines from the bottom, quotes from the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was telling us, this is the Mishnah Amud Aleph, that a basket that has different cracks in it and a piece of dough may have gotten stuck inside. So if there's a kezias in one place and that crack, a kezias of dough stuck there, then one's chayiv to burn it, and if not, if it's less than kezias, there's no obligation to burn it, and it could just be batel in that basket. And the Mishnah went on to say, v'chein le'inyin tuma, the same holds true in regards to tuma, that if someone's makpid on it, it's chotet, and if someone is not makpid on it, it's not chotet. So the Gemara says, mi dami, three lines from the bottom, and hey, my base, mi dami, is this really similar? Hasam b'shiro, talya milsa, v'hacha b'kveta, talya milsa. The first half of the Mishnah was talking about you require a shear of kezias. If there is a shear of kezias, you burn it. If not, not. But here, in regard to tumah, nothing to do with the shear of kezias. Rather, it has to do with kepeda, whether a person is a makpid or not. That's one of the important principles in regards to chatzitza. If someone's makpid on it, it's going to serve as a chatzitza. If not, it's not going to be chatzitza. So why then does the Mishnah say v'chein in tumah? It's not v'chein. It's not a so too. The same halacha applies to tumah. One has to do with the shear. One has to do with kepeda. So the answer is the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ema u le'inyon tuma enokein. It should say not v'chein le'inyon tuma, it should say le'inyon tuma enokein. It is not the same. Tuma has different principle. Tuma is dependent on kepeda, different than kezias. Amar le'abaye, ha v'chein le'inyon tuma kasani. You can't just come on and just change the nusach of the Mishnah because you weren't happy with it. The Mishnah l'maisa, it says v'chein le'inyon tuma, so too it holds tuma. So we're obviously misunderstanding something. So what does it mean v'chein le'inyon tuma? So El Amar Abai therefore says, by the way, this is something you know in general, Abai and Rava, even though it's not Abai versus Rava, it's Abai versus Rav Yehuda, but Abai and Rava general have this machlokas that Rava usually is much more willing to change the girsos around and maintain a simple logic, and Abai usually is not so comfortable changing the girsa. He's willing to more understand the Mishnah differently, but maintaining the initial girsa. So Abai here says, I don't want to change the girsa, because the girsa we have is true, and it says, V'chein le'inyon tuma. So El Amar Abai therefore says, Hachi kama. This is what the Mishnah means to say. V'chein le'inyon siruf tuma, v'pesach u'bishayom osashana ika pluksa. What does that mean? The same halacha applies in regards to being mitzarif something for tumah and Pesach. That has to do with the shear being mitzarif food for tumah. But shari mos hashana, the rest of the year, has nothing to do with the shear. Rather, has to do with kepeda. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, hey chidami, what's the case? Tzika pachas mikabeta ochlin. There's less than a shear of kabeta. Normally, the halacha is that you require a kabeta of ochlin to become tameh. So right now you have less than a kebetza of food. Now this less than a kebetza of food, Nogu, the Gemara says, Behai Betzach, Bepesach. So it touches this dough that's stuck in the cracks of the basket. So now, Bepesach, if we were talking about Pesach, Zisurei Chashuv Mitzarif, then in regards to Pesach, where the Shir of Kazayis is significant, because it's Aser, this Issa Chametz, when there's a Shir of Kazayis. So there you're going to take the Kazayis of Pesach, and it's going to combine to the pachas mikabeta, and you have this now, we can view them all together as a kabeta, because on Pesach, the Issa Chametz is considered a chashuv, and therefore it's going to be mitzarif to a kabeta. If it's less than a kazayis on Pesach, then we view that dough stuck in the cracks as being batel, and it will not be mitzarif. However, Bishari Mos Hashanah, the rest of the year, says the Gemara, the kebeda talya milsa, nothing to do with, doesn't taloy, it's not dependent on the shear, only Pesach depends on the shear. The rest of the year depends on kebeda. Im makpid olav mitzarif, im rota bikumo, hareo kareva. If a person's makpid on this dough being there, he wants to remove the dough, so the fact that he's makpid gives it a certain value, so then you can be mitzarif, that dough stuck in the cracks, with the other food that's there. But if a person wants to be kumo, he wants to keep the dough in the cracks to maintain the basket, then he wants it a part of the basket and he doesn't want to be mitzarifit. So again, that, well, how do you read the Mishnah? Mishnah is read as follows. V'chein le'inyon tumah, so too in regards to tumah, it depends on the shear of kezias when talking about Pesach. The shear kezias is chashuv and then when can connect to the rest of the food. The rest of the Mishnah says, however, shari mos hashana is talay on kebeda. It's dependent on whether a person is makbid on it or not makbid on it. That's the not a clear explanation, but that's how Abai wants to maintain the gears of the Mishnah to fit it in. So asks the Gemara, Maskev la Rava. Rava responds back, but Mikasani mitzarif, According to your very reasoning, Abai, you want to maintain the girsa of the Mishnah. Well, the Mishnah doesn't actually say mitzdarif, it actually is chotetz. How are you able to say that the tumah we're talking about is regarding mitzdarif? It really should be talking about chatzitza. So El Amar Rava, Rava therefore responds back, V'chein lahalos tara lareva. So no, it's talking about you have a basket that became tameh, and now you want to put it in the mikvah, bring it to the mikvah to make it tahor. So then the question is whether the dough stuck in the cracks is going to be serving as a chatzitza and prevent the tevila from being effective, or will not be a chatzitza. Meaning what? The Gemara says, "Hey chidami, kigon de itme hachareva." The basket becomes tamei. Ubaylat bule bePesach. You want to be matpil, put in the mikvah to make a tara. BePesach di isurei chashiv chotzes. If you're talking about Pesach, so if there's a kezias of the chametz in one crack, that's going to be considered chashiv because there's an isur in Pesach only. And therefore, it's going to be chotzeit and won't be a good tefillah. V'lo salkalei tefillah, says the Gemara. B'shari Mos Hashanah, the rest of the year, so then it's b'kibed atalya milsa. It's all dependent on whether a person's makbid on the dough being there. Does he want the dough to remain there and then be part of the basket so it's not makbid, it won't be chatzitza, or he wants to remove it? E makbid alav, says the Gemara, chotzeit. If he's makbid on it, it serves as a chatzitza, it's not a good mikvah, it's not a good tefillah. B'rotza b'kium, if he wants it to stay there to strengthen the basket, Harehu kareva, it's part of the basket and won't serve as chatzitza. So now it comes along Rav Papa, mikasani v'chein inan tara. The Mishnah doesn't say it, and so too, the same halacha applies regarding tara. It doesn't say that. It says hala inan tuma kasani. It's referring to making something tamei, not making something tahor. So finally, ela amar Rav Papa finally says, v'chein inan lahorid tuma lareva. No, so too, the halacha is the same when it comes to making the basket tamei. Meaning, hey chidami, what's the case? Kigon de naga sharetz b'hai betzach, that this sharetz, which is tamei, certain insect touches the dough that's found in this basket. So what's the halacha? B'pesach, we're referring to during the Pesach, the isurei chashuva, where the kizayis, that's considered chashuva because that's the isur chametz. Then, since it's chashuva, it's going to be chotetz, and the kizayis of dough is going to be chatzitza between the sharetz and the basket. The basket won't become tamei. Lo nach solei tuma won't fall upon this basket. B'shayim Mos Hashanah, the rest of the year, however, where there's no isur chametz, of course, the b'kapeda talim. It all depends on whether a person's makbid. A makbid alav chotetz. If a person's makbid, he wants to ultimately remove this dough, so then the sharetz touches the dough, which serves as a chatzitza between the sharetz and the basket, then the basket will not become tamei. However, in rotza b'kiyuma, if he wants to keep the dough there in the basket, then harehu karevo, then the dough becomes part of the basket, and if the sharetz were to touch the dough, which is in the basket will become tamei. So that's how we understand this that Mishnah. Okay. New Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, Betek HaCheresh, a betek acherish, which Rashi will tell us what it means in a second. What's the din of this type of betek, this type of dough? Im yesh kayotzi bo, shehichmet harei ze aser. If you can find a similar type of dough that we know is for sure chametz, and this dough will be chametz as well. So explains Rashi, betek acherish, shein nikr im hichmet imlav. You have a piece of dough and you weren't sure whether it became chametz or not. Why do we call it acherish? Why do we call it a deaf piece of dough? Shemeshuna hu kacherish, it's different, it's unique, like someone who's deaf. This person has ears, but you don't recognize whether he could hear or he can hear. The person doesn't really know by looking at him. So too, regards to this dough, you look at the dough, you can't really tell if it's chametz or not. So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to burn it, or can you keep it during Pesach? Like Mishnah tells us, if you have a similar type of dough that was cooked or left out the same amount of time, and that you know for sure is chametz, then you could extrapolate to this case also, that this case of type of dough will be chametz as well. So says the Gemara, Im ein sham kiyotzi bo mal. But let's say you cannot find a piece of dough that has similar qualities that's going to be chametz or not chametz. What are you supposed to do? You have a case of a safek now. Are you supposed to burn it or are you not supposed to burn it? What's the principle? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bohu, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Kidei sheyalach adam mimigdal nunya v'tiveria. So then this is the rule, that if it was since the time of being needed, this amount of time passed, then it's going to be chametz. Less than this time passed, it will not be chametz. So what's the time? Again, so Kedei sheyelech adam mimigdal nunya l'teveria. Time it takes a person to walk from this place called Nunya, the Tower of Nunya, to Teveria, which is a mill, says the Gemara.
Let me answer your question.
Yeah, sure.
We're saying that this is batzi charish, right? By comparing to something else, why would that make it more usher or winter?
Well, so we have this piece of dough. We're not sure some certain things we know is certainly chametz, and certain things we know are certainly matzah. But sometimes you find in this area where it's really unclear. So you could compare it to a different type of dough, which we know certainly is chametz, so that could tell us it's going to be chametz.
So basically, you're saying if I have this, the Gemara saying is that if I have this batzik acharus and I put it next to something that is chametz double, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the physical attributes, you're saying that the way, not necessarily feeling good, but like just putting it next to each other visibly what they're
right. And we said a couple times already, there are a few ways to look at a piece of bread and know whether it's chametz or not. Machlokes Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir said if it started turning white, that's going to be chametz already. And Rav Yehuda said if it starts having these cracks develop within it, that's going to tell us it's chametz. So that's the machlokes tanaim. So if you see a piece of chametz that was kneaded, let's say I kneaded it at 12 o'clock, and now it's 12:15, so I'm not sure whether it's considered chametz. Do I have to throw it out or can I keep it? You have another piece of dough that you need at the same time, and this certainly has the cracks developing, so both of them have to be thrown out.
What's the setting? This is like Erev Chag?
Not necessarily. It's a time where you needed it, and you didn't bake it quick enough, and it started to rise before you baked it. Because once you bake it, it doesn't rise anymore. So 25 minutes passed, it starts rising, that's going to be chametz. Get rid of it, burn it, because now that's considered a chametz. You can't bake it, you can't eat it for matzah anymore. Even, let's say, a week before Pesach. Question,
I have to assume it's before Pesach, because if it's all Pesach, how do you have chametz next to...
Let's say you were kneading a bunch of them, and one of them turns into chametz on Pesach, then, oh, this is chametz, this has to be chametz also, I'm going to burn both of them. Sure, so the Gemara again says, what's the time? So let's say there's no dough to compare to. You don't know whether this dough is chametz or not. So the principle is as follows. A person, the time it takes from a person to walk from the Tower of Nunya to Teveria, which ends up being a mill. So the Gemara asks, if you name a mill, just say mill. Why tell me the time it takes to walk from one place to the other place? Just say there's a mill. To teach us that a person doesn't know how long a mill is, so then walk from the Tower of Nunya and get to Teveria, and that you'll know is a mill. If you know where those places are, that will be the calculation of a mill. So Lamaisa, what's considered a mil? So that's a three-year machlokas. The Rambam and Perish Mishnah tells us a mil is 24 minutes. The Grup Haskins is 18 minutes. And then there's yet another opinion that says 22 and a half minutes. So those are the three basic definitions of what a mil is. It's based on the Gemara Pesachim later on, I think the beginning of the fifth parak, it tells us how long it takes from one place to the other place, a full day. We'll get there, Mir Tashem, in a few weeks. So now, once we're on the topic of a mill, the Gemara brings a few other halakhas that relate to the shear of a mill. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bohu, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Legavel uletfila uletilas yadayim. These three things are ba milim. The shears are ba milim. It's four mil. What are these three things? Look at Rashi. First medium wide line down in Rashi, Legavel. He says, Hamagavel isas acherim bischar. I'm kneading someone else's dough. I'm getting hired to knead his dough. V'kli bal habayis tamem. And the utensils of the bal habayis who I'm kneading for, preparing the dough for, it happens to be tamei. So, ad arba milin hitrichu hacham leilech l'mikvah litfal kelev. So I, as the worker, have to walk a distance of 4 mil to look for a mikvah to be matvila kelev, to put in the mikvah to make a tarah. If there's no mikvah within the distance of 4 mil, I don't have to. I can make it in the state of tumah. So, there back in the olden times, they used to even eat chulin when the chulin were tahor. They had this concept of eating chulin betara. Even though deraisa, you can eat chulin, non-truma, non-kachim food, you can eat it in the state of tumah. They're makvah to eat it even betara as best as possible. So, this case here also, I'm making the person's dough, his kelim happen to be tameh, I have to go the distance of 4 mil to look for a mikvah. If I know there's no mikvah, or I can't find the mikvah more than within 4 mil, I don't have to look for a mikvah, and I could just make this dough even though it's tameh. That's what legavel means. It says Tosfos on the top one, legavel peish aruch, deb'adam hamahalich b'derech mari. It's talking about a person who's actually walking, not a guy who's home, a guy who's walking. Dumyut tefila, similar to the case of tefila, which we'll get to in a second. Dim yesh gevel haosa isasa betara barachok dal milan yam tenachi agil osa gevel. So let's say I'm walking and I have some bread with me. The bread happens to be tamei. Am I allowed to eat this? So says Tosfos, he interprets the Gemara as follows. If I know within the next 4 mil I'm going to find dough that's tahor, I need to wait for that dough that's tahor. But if not, if I know I can't find anything, so then I'm able to eat the dough that happens to be tamer. So that's what it's talking about. Not so relevant to us. But what's relevant to us is as follows. The Machlokes, Shulchan Aruch, and Ramah that say the same halacha may apply to Pas Akum versus Pas Yisrael. There's halacha that Mikar Din, one should only have Pas Yisrael, bread made by a Jew, not bread made by a non-Jew. It's very relevant for Aseres Me'etshuva. That's the halacha, the custom that's been brought down by the Ramah, that during Aseres Me'etshuva, a person should be makmin not to have any Pas Akum during those 10 days, which means no crackers from from a Pas Akum and any bread type of material, bread type of food.
See, that's today.
Yeah, even nowadays, yeah. During Aseres Me'etshuva, that's been the minhag not to have any Pas Akum at all. Now, there are heterim if it's made from a larger manufacturer. In general, we have such a heter. From a large manufacturer, we could rely on eating those, because the concern of Pas Yisrael and Pas Akum is you might marry off children together when there's a relationship. When you deal with a big manufacturer, there's no relationship, so then there's more of a hanter. But during Aseres Me'etshuva, we try not to rely on that. We try to have Pas Yisrael for everything. Happens to be another time of the year also that the Ramah brings down, really, the Mishabura interprets Ramah, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the very first siman of Hilchos Shabbos, you're supposed to have Pas Yisrael only on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. That's also brought down the law. It's kosher, yeah. But there's a chumrah not to have Pas Akum on Aseres Me'etshuva, certainly, and many are also makbid on the Mishabura not to have it even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, no Pas Akum. So that being the case, so the Shulchan Aruch in general is makbid, a person should always have Pas Yisrael. Let's say a person only has Pas Akum. What's the distance a person has to go to look for Pas Yisrael? So Shulchan Aruch says, based on this Gemara, a person only needs to look 4 mil for this Pas Akum. If he knows he's not going to find within the radius of 4 milin, he will not find Pas Yisrael. It's enough for him to rely on Pas Akum. The Ramah says there's no need to look around. The person can lichatchila during the rest of the year have Pas Akum, and the halacha of 4 mil does not apply to Pas Yisrael and Pas Akum. Okay, so that's the case of Legavel. Then the Gemara says, let's go back to Rashi, continuing that Rashi that we left off on, three medium wide lines down in Rashi, v'chein l'tefila. So through the same halacha applies to tefila, this shear of 4 mil, which means, Rashi says, in mahalech adam b'derech, a person's walking, he's traveling, ba'es la'lun l'hispala, it comes the time he needs to rest, he needs to daven. Im yesh beis ha'knesses l'fanav, if he has a shul with in front of him, b'rochok arba milin, in front of him 4 mil, he shouldn't just stop where he is now. He should walk the extra 4 mil, the extra 18 minutes times 4, the 72 minutes he should walk to get to that place to daven. So it's interesting here. Rashi says, the halacha is not to daven in a minyan. He says to daven in a beis knesses, l'chore, even without a minyan. So what's the need for that? So it's brought down by the Bahag, says the reason is because when you daven in a shul, you have much more kavana than davening in the hotel, davening in the street, wherever you might be. So you're supposed to get to the shul, but not necessarily because of the minyan. That's according to the simple reading of Rashi. No, the Behuda says, no, the reason why you have to walk the distance is because you're going to find the minyan. Let's say you happen to know you're going to go up to the country somewhere during the winter and you're not going to find the minyan, so this is an afkamina. Do you have to go to that shul, the local shul, even though there's no minyan or not? According to the Bahag and the simple reading of Rashi, you have to go to the shul because it says Beis Knesses. The shul gives you proper kavana. According to the Nod Behuda, Lechora, you would not have to go to that minyan because the only reason to go to the shul is for the purpose of the minyan. It's based on Gemara Brachos also. If you remember, the idea of davening in the shul itself has a certain impact. So that's the definition of tefillah in regards to Rashi. How far do you have to travel to find a shul and perhaps a minyan? Tosos interprets it differently. Tosos writes the second Tosos, the tefillah, near Kepesh Kuntres. He likes Rashi's, he favors Rashi's interpretation. However, he quotes the Aruch, V'lo ka'aruch depirish le'tefillah ha'inu lirchot yodav lispalel. There's a halacha, you're supposed to wash your hands before davening, before shachas, before mincham, before marv. The Hechidami, so that's their Aruch. The Aruch says, how far do you have to look for water to wash your hands before tefillah? Now, Tosus doesn't like this interpretation, because what's the case? The Hechidami, during the time of davening, right now is Zman Tefillah, Ha'amin B'brachos, the Gemara tells us that Layat Aman de Mahader Amai de Be'idin Tzalusa. So that Abaye would curse anybody who would look for water during the time of tefillah. The tzibur is about to start Shmoneh Esrei, and you're running around looking for water. He said, that's not a good thing to do. If you have time, wash your hands. But if you're running out of time, don't wash your hands. Go daven with the tzibur. Because the pasuk says, Dechsev Archot B'Nikayon Kapai, supposed to clean your hands. And if you can't find water, just rub them on your pants, rub them on the wall or something, clean it that way. So it can't be talking about bizman tefila. So it must be, says Tosos, ve'iv shelo bizman tefila. If we're talking about a time where it's not zman tefila as of yet, so my area dala milan afil tuanami. So why does the Gemara give a limit of 4 mil? That's all you have to walk is 4 mil. You have to walk as far as possible to find the water to wash your hands. So Tosos therefore rejects the this interpretation of the Aruch. No, it's an Aruch, much earlier source. Before the times of the Nishonim, I don't even know historically where he is, but he was called the Aruch, and oftentimes he would just give, like Rashi, give a definition, give a perish on a piece of the Gemara. I don't think we have a running commentary of his, but we oftentimes Rashi or Tosos will quote the perish of the Aruch.
Which is before the time.
Yeah. So in regards to the halacha of washing, some interpret washing hands here refer to.
What's the halacha of going to a shul? Is it 4 mil?
4 mil is the halacha. Yeah. 4 mil is the halacha. Yeah. 72 minutes to look for shul if you're going.
I think I saw in the Kishkus that was one time to the Shaila, and in his model, I think it's just you have to dive in early, right? You can't put him in for as long. So I think we say, if somebody goes early to shul, to daven in that zman, even if he's not davening in the minyan, better to go to the shul, even before his zman, and daven on his own.
Oh, yeah?
And that's a mishubuk, I think, is what it is. A mishubuk, a mishubuk, something like that. Not like a halacha, but it's more of a...
Interesting.
Because you'd rather get a person who used to davening at shul, or shabbat.
Right here. And then go away. But yeah, the shad does come up when people go away. People go away without minyanim. There are hesterim for it, but according to the simple reading of this Gemara, it seems that one should have to walk the distance of 72 minutes. Also, one should raise the question whether l'chachil, a person can put himself in a position on vacation where he's not going to find a minyan. Let's say you're going to go on one of the islands where there's not going to be a minyan. What?
Bora.
Right, so where there's certainly not going to be a minyan within 72 minutes,
one has to...
You can fly.
You can fly 72 minutes.
Question.
It's walk or drive?
So that's a good question. I remember, I didn't see it in this halakha. No, it's brought up, it really is. It's brought up. I'm trying to remember this now.
I think today drive.
Ravada Yosef talks about this. I'm trying to remember. There's a discussion about using, by the way, the Gemara, talking about Derech HaChokah, when you're far from the base of Migdash or bring the Karim Pesach, they talk about. The distance is based on foot, not based on going on a camel or something. Even though that was a possible way to do it, I don't remember. The Gemara there discusses this, we'll get to it in a few weeks, I guess. I don't remember. But L'chora, I think, anyway, L'maisa probably would be dependent on car anyways, I think. Car, or maybe even plane. And the question is how much hefsin mamon, how much you have to pay to go find the minyan.
I think it's... I don't think that's because my boss, Hassan's like, so he said that it's a mill
we'll see in a second. The mill is when you're going, if you're going forward, so if it's a minyan that's behind you, you only have to go a mill backwards to go back in your trip. But if you're moving forward and you know in another 4 mil, you're going to find something. But some say that 4 mil ahead of you is only when it's mamish ahead of you. Any way off the derech, slightly off the way, would not be considered bederech, and you'd only have to go the mill, which is only the 18 minutes. So there's more than just the 72 minutes. It's not 72 minutes in any direction. It's only mamish in front of you on the highway that you're driving on, basically, according to some.
In Vegas, the Chabad is exactly 18 minutes from the center.
Yeah?
From, like, the strip.
Okay, so says the Gemara. So one more thing. We said three things we did. One was tefillah. That machlokas Rashi Tosas, one was Lagavel. The third thing the Gemara says, what's the halacha of the mill? That's regarding the Tilat Sedayim. So back to that Rashi says, V'chein l'Tilat Sedayim l'achila. In terms of finding water, you're in the desert, you need water to wash your hands before eating bread. The halacha you have to do in Tilat Sedayim first. Says Rashi, Im astu limtsa mayim l'fana of bedalad milim, naholech l'sham v'notas yadav. If you know in 4 mil from where you are, you're going to find water, wait the 72 minutes till you get there, wash your hands. But if not, then you don't have to. So what do you do if you can't find water for the Tilat Sedayim? So the halacha is that you're supposed to wrap your hands or wrap the bread in a way that you do not touch, that your hands do not touch the piece of bread. The Gra says that in fact that's actually a real chumr. Most poskim say you don't have to do the halacha. If you can't find water, you're allowed to directly touch the bread with your hands. However, based on the Aruch, a different Aruch, the same person but a different comment, he says that no, the Aruch says one has to cover his hand so he doesn't touch the bread if he has no place to wash. And for whatever reason, the Shulchan Aruch paskened that way. So we're makbid to cover your hands lest it touch the bread without Netiyas Adayim.
You still say the brachos before after?
You say Hamotzi, you don't say Netiyas Adayim, you say Hamotzi and you say benching afterwards.
You say Hamotzi before, even if you don't touch it?
You say Hamotzi before, but you can't say Netiyas Adayim. Netiyas Adayim is only in water, washing hand with water.
No,
if you clean it, there's another bracha you might say if you clean your hands. But
normally speaking, when you say Hamotzi, you're supposed to have like around 10 fingers touching the actual bread.
Correct.
Right? So here, we're saying, if you could touch it still.
Well, we pass and still one should not touch
it. Not
right.
Touch it.
One should not touch it.
So even if you don't touch it, you can still say Hamotzi and you still, after the regular bracha, even if you can't have source.
Okay, says the Gemara now. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak Ivo Amra Varba. Rav Nachman quoted the name of Ivo that really there are four things listed. We had a list of three, which were Legavel, Latvil, and Tiasadayim. He said there were really four. What's the fourth? Amar Ba, Vechadim and Ayu, Ovid. One of them is Ovid or Ibud. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Vechulan Sheivdan, O Shehilach Behen, Kadevoda, Tehorim, Chutz Meor Hadam. All the different leathers, the different skins that became stomped on and pressed, so then it's going to be considered tahor. The halacha is that something that a keli that is tameh, if you remove its purpose, it can become tahor. So by people stepping on this piece of leather, let's say was initially tameh, people stepping over it and ruining it, so that will make this leather into tahor. That is true in regards to all skins except for the human skin. Okay. So kama kidei avoda, what is the amount of the shiv avoda? People step on it, the amount it takes to do the avoda. So amar Rabbi Einyo, amar Rabbi Yanai kidei hiluch arba milin. So the amount of time it takes for someone to walk 4 mil, which we said were 72 minutes, so if you place a piece of leather skin on the ground and people are walking over for 72 minutes, so that really ruined the skin, and the skin which was once tamei will now be considered tahor. Okay, so that's the fourth thing. Some Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Lo Shanu El Lefanav. The halacha of 4 mil only applies mamish in front of you. Aval Achav, if it's behind you, Afilu Mil Ein Achoz. Even if it's a mil behind you, you do not have to go back. Only 18 minutes do you have to go back. But more than that, you do not have to go backwards. As I said before, if it's the stud, then the posting and passing, if it's anywhere off to the side as well, the right to the left, the east to the west, that too, you only have to go a distance of 18 minutes. The only time you have to walk 72 minutes is mamish lefanav. It's on your way on where you're going. However, the halacha, as a post can point out, let's say you're home. You live in a place, you're home. Everyone goes up to the country, there's no minyan. How far do you have to go? So they say, if you're home, you're not traveling, you have to go the distance of 72 minutes from where you live at home. The only heter of only going a mil is only when you're walking a certain direction, you don't have to go backwards or to the side, anything more than 18 minutes. And the Gemara concludes here, Amar Rav Acha umina milhu denechozer ha pachas mi milchozer. The halacha is, you don't have to go a mil. You don't have to go 18 minutes, but you have to go less than 18 minutes to find this minion if it's behind you. Okay, says the mission. New mission now. Keitzed mafrishin chala b'tumah b'yamtif. The question is, how are you mafrish chala that's tamei on yamtif? What's the issue? So look at Rashi, five lines from the bottom. The first Rashi in the mission. He says, Keitzed mafrishin chala b'tumah. How do you separate chala? Again, the halach is, when you have a certain amount of dough, you're supposed to, after you need it, you're supposed to separate a part of the chala, and that part of the chala ultimately goes to the kohen. So says the Rashi, Shenitmes ha'isa. The dough became tamer. V'shuv eino tal achala hanitelas mimena rui luch achilas kohen. Now, when I separate the chala, I can't give the chala to a kohen, because the chala that became tamer cannot be eaten by the kohen. So that being the case, keitzem afrishin also b'yomtiv shel Pesach. Now, I find myself on Pesach. So how am I supposed to separate chala? I want to eat the dough for my food, but I can only eat the dough once I remove chala. If I didn't remove challah, this dough becomes iser tevel. So I need to remove the challah to separate it. So what's the problem?
But how would we come to make it?
Someone who's tamei touched the piece of dough, it's tamei now. Okay. Now, I can't give it to a kohen because a kohen can't eat the challah. So he can't eat it, but how am I going to make my dough edible from a lachic standpoint? Hare, the Rashi says, Hare in yachol afoso, I can't burn the challah. since the challah will not be roy for the kohen to eat, so I can't bake it on Pesach, it's yantif. I can only bake something on Pesach on yantif that's permitted to be eaten. This can't be eaten, so I can't bake it. V'lishoso, but may I leave the dough aside. I won't bake the dough. I'll just leave it on the side. L'erev, l'sor for l'erev, yevshar, so tachmet. But I can't let the dough just sit there all yantif. Over 24 hours, it's going to rise and rise and rise. It's going to become chametz. If it's on sukkah, so fine. On sukkah, I don't have to bake the dough. I'll just leave the challah aside in this raw state. It's going to grow to be chametz. What's the big deal? But now that's on Pesach, I can't let it just sit on the side. It's going to become chametz. Well, the sorfa, so maybe what I should do is, when I separate the dough, I can't bake it, I can't let it sit, so let me just burn it right away. Oh, lachias a club, or just give it to my dog's teeth. This way it'll prevent it from getting to any chametz. Yefshar, that's not allowed either. Shein sorfa and kachim b'yomtif. The halacha is, you're not allowed to burn kachim, and for that matter, you can't burn challah, which is a type of chuma. Chuma, kachim, you can't burn any of that stuff. You can't get rid of it on yomtif. So you're stuck here. You can't bake it because you can't bake something on yomtif that has no purpose. I can't leave it over because it's going to turn to chametz. I can't give it to my dogs or burn it because that's an iser to do that, to feed kachim, get rid of kachim and yantif.
So why don't we say lekelef actually goes to the dog before it ferments, before it becomes true chametz?
No, because once I have the dough, I separate it, I have a piece of chal here. So what am I supposed to
do?
Exactly. So Tosos actually has an interesting shayla. I think we have time for this Tosos here. It's a long Tosos. Let's do this Tosos, I think. Tosis asks as follows. Tosis lo tikra l'ashem ad shetofe. Shim haya kora l'ashem. He quotes Rashi. The first part is basically Rashi. Shim haya kora l'ashem. If he calls it challah, gives it a kriyas shem of challah, lo haya yachol afoso. He can't bake it anymore because it can't eat it. The kohen can't eat it. V'lo l'sorfer, he can't burn it either. The ain sorfer in kachim yomtiv. You're not allowed to burn kachim yomtiv. Kide yalef b'bameh b'alikin. The second paragraph of Shabbos tells us you can't burn kachim. Behind you, Nami Taima, this is also the reason how the Tanan Hossam that the Mishnah tells us there, Ein Malikin Vishem and Sreifa Biyamtif. You're not allowed to burn oil of Chuma that became Tama. You can't burn that either in Yantif. There's an answer to be sorry if Kachim and Chuma. Fine. Hatosis asks Vitaima, I don't understand this. Bishnla Psul Kodesh Ein Torah from Biyamtif. I understand why Kachim, you cannot burn a Yamtif. Shein Yochel Hanos Mimena Bishah Sreifa. When I burn the kachim, which is a higher level than truma, I cannot burn kachim. I can't get hana from it. It really has no purpose on yomtiv, so I can't burn it. Aval truma tmeya sheyochol lahanos mimena b'shas sreifa. I'm allowed to. A kohen is allowed to get hana from truma tmeya when it gets burned. You can't get hana. On my ain sorfen kmo shemut lahalik b'shemen shechulin lahanasa. Just like I could take oil that's chulin, I could burn it and get hana from it. So too, kach yisof chuma tmei l'hanoso. So let me burn the chuma tmeya, and I'll get hana from it. I could burn it if I'm getting hana from it. L'chim ibnei mitzvah l'sof migra gari. Because there's a mitzvah to also burn chuma's kachim. There's actually a mitzvah to get rid of chuma that became tmeya. Since that's a mitzvah, it's going to make things worse. L'maisa, I'm allowed to get hana, so let me burn it on Pesach, and I could get hana of the oil. The teir shriva as follows. The shemen shalchulin mutter lahalik l'hanoso. When I burn shemen of chuma, of chulin rather, there's a heter hana. Kemosha mutu lechel. Just like I could eat food on yantiv, I could get hana from chulin and yantiv. That's not a problem. About chuma tumea, the asur b'chol hanos, it's also to get any hana from chuma. Nimse shehavar einel hana. The reason I'm burning the chuma is not to get hana, rather ela l'shum mitzvah sreifa. The reason why I'm burning it is to burn the chuma, to get rid of it. However, happened to be incidentally, the Torah is not bothered if you get hana. In other words, when it comes to chulin, the purpose of burning the chulin is to get hana. That's permitted on yomtiv. The purpose of burning chuma tmeya is to burn the chuma tmeya. Incidentally, if you happen to get hana, so you're allowed to get hana. The Torah doesn't mind if you get hana, but that's not the ikar purpose. Since it's not the ikar purpose to get hana when burning the chuma tmeya, that's why it's not allowed. We can't view this as burning chuma as a hana. The hana is very secondary, and that's why it's not permitted on yantif.
But it is permitted.
It's not permitted to get... You can't burn it on yantif, even though you're getting hana. Tosa's question was, you're allowed to get hana on things on yantif. I could burn... If I have oil, that's chulun.
So
I could burn it.
So you get rid of it.
That's the question, the Gemara. That's the Mishnah's question. The Mishnah wants to, how do you get rid of this challah? What are you supposed to do? I have a dough, I just needed the dough, and somebody touched it. Someone whose tummy touched the dough. And I need to remove the challah to give it to the kohen for me to eat the rest of the dough. But what am I supposed to do with this challah now? I can't bake it, I can't burn it, and I can't let it sit out because it turns into chametz. So that's the problem. So the Gemara is going to, the Mishnah rather, is going to offer a few approaches. What are you supposed to do with this challah? So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo tikra l'shem ad shetofeh. I'll tell you what, don't call it shem challah until you bake it. Meaning, I take the whole piece of dough. L'chadchila, the halacha is, I'm supposed to call challah while it's still raw. I separate the raw dough, I call challah. In this case is now b'dievet, you're stuck. So take the whole piece of dough, don't separate challah, put the whole piece of dough in the oven, bake it. After you've baked it, now it's going to be matzah, not chametz. It's stuck. It can't become chametz anymore. I take a piece, I crack up a piece of the matzah, say, this is now challah, that's going to go separate. Now, the kohen can't eat it because he can't eat challah, it's tameh. So you just let it sit out until tomorrow night, and then burn it the next day after Pesach is over. And we know it can't turn to chametz anymore, because once you've baked it, it can't turn to chametz. That's the Eitz HaTovah that Rabbi Elazar says. So again, normally the lach is, you're supposed to l'chachila separate challah when it's still raw in the state of dough, but this is considered a case of b'dieved, so you can actually, in general, if you forget, let's say one forgot to mafrish challah, and he already baked it, or she already baked it. And you find yourself on Shabbos now. What are you supposed to do? The lach is that you could just leave over in chutzlarts. Chutzlarts and challah chutzlarts is only derabanan. You could just say, okay, whatever I leave over on challah, whatever I leave for the remainder is going to be considered challah. Normally you have to separate challah first, but in challah chutzlarts, you could eat challah and say the leftover is going to be considered challah. In Eretz Yisrael, however, where it's deraisa challah, that doesn't work. You have to do it. There's another eight to what to do. It does come up, I remember. A few times it does come up. So, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Ben Besera Omer, Tatil Batoni. You know what you should do? Place it in cold water, and the cold water is going to stop the process of turning into chametz. It's going to stop it from rising. That will prevent it. That's the Eitz HaTovah that Ben Besera raises. Now, on this line, this heter of Ben Beser, that you can put it in cold water, the shaila was posed to Rav Moshe Feinstein, can a person take this dough, place it in the freezer, and to stunt the growth of the dough from turning into any chametz or not? That was the question he was posed. He thought that one can be mechalik, that's different when placing it into cold water. The cold water might have a stronger effect than placing it into a freezer, just the mere cold temperature will not necessarily have the same, he wasn't sure, but may not necessarily have the same effect as placing it in cold water. He brings a sugi elsewhere that Poskim discuss about putting into a freezer or not. In the end, the Moshe's machmir that putting in the freezer should not work at preventing it from turning to chametz. That is not a heter from preventing it turning to chametz. So meaning you can't make a lot of dough earlier, and okay, fine, I'm going to place it in the freezer now, and I'll bake them erev Pesach. It doesn't work that way. You have to bake the matzah shortly after making it into the state of nida, for kneading it, before you could bake it. So that's the heter of Ben Becerra. So Rabbi Elazar says again, don't call it challah until you bake it. Ben Becerra says, place it into cold water. Rabbi Yeshua gives yet a third explanation. Lo zeu chametz shemuzharin Allah b'bayirah b'yimatzei. This is not a chametz that we were warned on, because Rashi tells us, look at the top Rashi there, lo zeu chametz shemuzharin Allah, k'dim eforashi gemar, the first parak taught us, d'lav didehu, this is not your chametz. After I call it chal, it's not mine anymore. The crux of the pasuk says, "Shelcha yatharoa." You can't see your chametz. V'zeh eino shelcha. This is not yours. It's chal. It's that of the kohen. Lo shachavercha. It's not even your friend. It's not even the kohen's. The akati lamata liad kohen. You didn't give it to a kohen as of yet. So this basically, no one owns this. It's challah that's going to eventually go to the Kohen, but he didn't take it yet. It's not mine, it's not his. So this is not a problem. This is not one has to do nothing with it. Rather, says the Gemara, Mishnah rather, Elosh mafrishasa o minachasa ad harev. You separate the challah while it's still in the state of being a dough. You let it sit. Vim hechmitza, hechmitza. If it gets to become chametz, become chametz. But it's not yours to worry about. Chal is not your responsibility. So that's a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah, how to deal with dough of kem tamei and b'mafresh challah. So says the Gemara, Lema, say perhaps as follows. B'tovas hana'a kemifli. Maybe they're arguing about tovas hana'a. What's tovas hana'a? Tovas hana'a is that the right a person has to give to a kohen. Rashi says, tovas hana'a, davar mu'atu. There's a small amount of value in tovas hana'a, meaning, the Tanya, the Gemara, and Bryce, the Bryce and Bechoros tells us, Rashai Yisrael lo mar l'chaveir. A person can say to his friend, Heilach sela, here's a sela, v'tein kol trumascha leben biti kohen. So I'm a Yisrael, let's say. my grandson happens to be a Kohen, because my daughter married a Kohen, so my grandson's now a Kohen. So I say to my friend, here, my neighbor, here's a Sela, and give all your chumo, all your challah, give it to my grandson. He's a Kohen, he'll eat it. So that's a tovas hanah. Me as a farmer, I could theoretically, I could receive money, someone could pay me off to give to the challah, to give the chumah to whoever I want. So there's a certain value I get for choosing who to give the chumah and challah to. So that tovas hanah, that perhaps the Gemara suggests is the machlokas, meaning, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Eliezer savar tovas hanah mamon, Bishua savar tovas hanah ena mamon. So what do they say? Rabbi Lazar says that let's go backwards. Rabbi Yeshua says, it's not mine. The chal is not mine, so let me let the chal sit out, and it becomes chametz, because he thinks the fact that I have a right to give it to whichever kohen, that's not viewed as mamon. Therefore, I have no bialis, I have no ownership over it, so just let it sit out. I have no responsibility over the chal. Again, the tovas hanah does not give me bialis. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, the fact that I have the choice to give to whomever I want to, that choice, that tovas hanah, gives me value, gives me bialis, and I do own the challah, and therefore I can't let it sit out, I have to stop it from growing somehow. That's why Rabbi Eliezer says, place it in cold water. That's the machloka, says the Gemara. Is tovas hanah considered mamun or not mamun? It says the Gemara, no, lo. The chuli alma savri tovas hanah ain't a mamun. Everybody agrees that choice to give to whomever I want to, that's not considered value. I don't own the challah. So what's the machlokas? They're arguing about this concept of hoil. Hoil means since. Hoil what? The Rabbi Eliezer Savar Amiran Hoil V'i by Itshalala Mamonahu. The Blazer says, I could always uproot it. I could always go to a chacham and have what I called challah. I could say, you know what? I don't want this to be challah. The chacham could undo the challah that I've created. Since I have that hoil, I have that potential to do that, even though I haven't yet done it, but I have the potential to do that, that hoil allows that we can view the challah as potentially mine. I own it. Again, even though I call this challah, and now challah, I have no rights of the challah anymore. It's the coin, wherever the coin is. Since I can undo the challah retroactively, I have the potential for it. I can view it as ownership, and that's why Rebbe Elazar says you have to get rid of it. However, Rabbi Yeshua Savar, lo amin hoil. We do not say this concept of hoil. We view it as the now. As the now, I have no ownership over it. So since right now I have ownership over it, I'm therefore not obligated to get rid of this challah, which can potentially turn into chametz. The Achorim asks you, in regards to tovas hanah, I don't understand, what's a tovas hanah here? You cannot give it to a kohen. We're talking about chametz and Pesach. Chametz and Pesach, I cannot give to a kohen. He has to actually burn it. So where is there a tovas hanah here at all? There's no tovas hanah. I can't give it to anybody. No one's allowed to eat it. There's no hanah in this case. So Rashash answers as well. Rashash says, the Gemara told us earlier, that even though chametz, something that's asr b'hanah, is no longer in your possession anymore. Asr hanah has left my possession. I have no ownership over it. The Torah has put the chametz in my possession as if I own it, and therefore I'm over the isr of chametz. Here too also, says the Gemara, even though you're right, it's talking about Isser Chametz and Pesach, and I have no ownership over it, the Torah placed it in my possession, just like it placed in my possession to make it Asr Bonah, it also, and to make me violate the Isser of Chametz, it also placed it in my possession to give me that Tovas Hanah in this case. Now says the Gemara brings out a different type of Hoil, one might be a little more familiar to us. The Gemara quotes as follows, Itmar, Ofen Mai Miyom Tov L'chol, a person bakes from Yom Tov to the next day to Chol. What's the halacha? Because normally you're only allowed to cook for Yontif itself. You can't cook on Yontif for the next day. That's an Isser. So it says the Gemara, Rav Chista Amar Loka. You get Malkus. It's an Isser deraisa. You get Malkus for cooking from one day to the next. Rab Amar Eino Loka. You do not get Malkus. So what's the Malkus? Rav Chista Amar Loka. You get Malkus. Lo Amrin and Hoel. You don't say the following Hoel. You don't say, Hoel Umikle Leorachim. It's possible guests may come. We're talking about on Yontif right now. I'm cooking. You're right, I'm thinking about cooking for tomorrow, but it's possible guests might walk into my house and I have food for them. So possible, he says, Lo amrinan hol mikle le'orchem chajile. Since guests might walk into my house, the food is fit for someone on Yontif. No, we don't say that. Therefore, you get malchus. Rab amar enoloka, you do not get malchus. Amrinan hol, we do say hol. We say, since there's potential, some guests may walk into your house, now you have food for him to eat. So then you'll be able to, you won't get malchus. Okay, so the Maram Chalava says that even according to Rabba, who says you do not get Malkus, Rabba says, L'chadchila, a person's not allowed to cook from Yontif to Chol, It's only if a person did cook, he doesn't get malchus because that potential exists of someone walking into your house to always feed them. Now, there's machlokas here. What exactly is machlokas Rabba and Rav Chista? What's the deeper machlokas Rabba and Rav Chista here? So, the Asman Daraisa of Yosef Engel and the Kovet Shurim of Echon of Asman, they explain as follows. They're arguing about the following case, about if a person, do we file based on someone's machshava or do based on someone's maisa? The person's machshava, he's cooking now, he finds himself in Yontif, and he's cooking for tomorrow, for Chol. His machshava is for cooking for the next day. So, according to his machshava, he did something wrong. But according to his actions, he cooked on Yontif, and it's very possible someone may walk in. So in terms of his Maisa, his action actually was cooking for a person on for a guest on Yontif. So the Machlokas, they explain it as follows. Do we follow a person's Machshava, or do we follow a person's Maisa? That's what they how they explain this. So says the Gemara as follows. Amrlei Rabbi Rav Chista. Rabbi responds back to Rav Chista. Lididach, according to Rav Chista, who says get malchus, damris lo amrin and hoa. We don't say hoa. Hech ofen miyomtiv to Shabbos. We know we're allowed to cook from yomtiv to Shabbos. Shabbos is you're preparing. How are you supposed to prepare? You don't have time. You're allowed to cook on yomtiv for the preparations of Shabbos. According to you, Rav Chista, what's the heter to cook? According to me, I have the concept of hoel. I could cook on Yontif because a guest might walk into my house, so I could cook Yontif, and it ends up being leftovers for Shabbos. But according to you, Rav Chista, who thinks it's an Issa Deraisa, and you get Malkus for cooking from Yontif to the next day, what's the heter to cook from Yontif to Shabbos? Amulei, Mishum Eruve Tavshilin. Because Erev Tavshilin, Erev Yontif, I place some foods. I place a piece of bread, I have an egg down, I say a whole thing, and now I could cook from that to Erev Tavshilin, gives me a heter to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. By the way, this is the Iker Sugya of Erev Tavshilin. It's found in here in the Gemara Beta. These are the two main sugyas for understanding that Sugya of Erev Tavshilin. Because Erev Tavshilin, that allows me to cook even according to Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, Mishum Eruvei Tavshilin Sharinan Isur Deraisa? According to Rav Chista, there's an Isur Deraisa to cook from Yontif to the next day. Because Erev Tavshilin allows me to violate an Isur Deraisa, how exactly does that work? So Amar Lei responds back, Midderaisa Tzarech Shabbos Nasim B'Yomtiv. No, really, Midaraisa, one is allowed to cook from Yomtiv to Shabbos. That's completely Deraisa permitted. You just can't cook from Yomtiv to Chol. But Yomtiv to Shabbos, where they're both considered Kedusha Achas, they're both the same level of Kedusha, or very similar levels of Kedusha, I can collect from Yomtiv to Shabbos. It's not viewed as a disgrace to Yomtiv. It's viewed as a disgrace to Yomtiv when I cook in Yomtiv for the purpose of a Chol. That's disgraceful. But to cook from Yomtiv to Shabbos, that's already something that's something you could understand. They're the same Kedusha, that's understandable. That's reasonable. So that's permitted. However, that being the case, Rabbanan who the Gazri Bey Gzeira Chum didn't like you to cook from Yomtif to Shabbos because of Gzeira Shema Yomru Ofen Yomtif Afachol. A person might say, oh, just like I cooked last year in Yomtif to Shabbos, maybe I'll also be able to cook from Yomtif to Chol. That being the case, V'chevin Das Tzurchu Rabbanan Eruvit Havshilin Islay Heker. So therefore, they said, you know what? Let's put into place some type of heker that will remind people. I'm going to make an Erev Tavshilin, and people will say, no, I'm only allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos because I have this Erev Tavshilin. But when it comes to Yom Tov to Chol, that's not allowed. Says the Gemara, Eisivei, Behema Hamusukenes, Lo Yishkot, Elekadei Shiachol Lechol Heimano, Kizai Slim Mibod Yom. I have a Behema that's basically dying, and I want to shecht it before to cut my losses. If it dies, I obviously can't eat it anymore. I have to shechtle it. So you quickly want to shechtle it on Yontif. And you're allowed to shechtle on Yontif. But only if there's enough time that you can eat a kezias, that you take a small piece of meat, roast it quickly, as long as enough time to cut that piece, shechtle it, cut it, and roast that piece of meat before Yontif ends. So yachol lechol afagav l'bay l'meichol. The Gemara says, well, only if you can eat it, but not necessarily if you're going to eat it. The potential is there. So says Rabbah, Bishma lididi damrin and hoel v'hoel. According to me, why hold of a concept of a hoel? This potential is a heter to cook. Here too also. Hoel v'i by the meichel matziachel. Misham hachi yishkot. Since in this case, if I wanted to eat, I could eat. That's enough for me to allow to be shechted. El didcha, according to you of Chista, damris lo amrin hoel, that you don't hold of the concept of hoel. You don't allow for potential. My yishkot, why are you allowed to shechted? Just because you are able to eat it, you're allowed to shecht it. We don't hold of hoel according to you of Chista. Amrlei mishum hefsed mamona, because hefsed mamona. You have a large cow here; it's very expensive. You're going to lose a lot of money. Mishum hefsed mamona, sharina isur deraisa, because you're going to lose a lot of money. You're allowed to violate an isur deraisa and shecht something for not the purpose of yontif. Amalei in, yes. Mishum hefsed mamona, gomer belibo, lechol kezayis. No, because of the hefsed mamona, the $1,000 cow, whatever cow costs, I'm going to lose a lot of money. I'm going to convince myself, and I'm going to make myself eat. I'm going to say, I have a lot of money at stake here. I'm going to convince myself I'm hungry. I will eat the food, so it will be considered the tzarach yamtiv. And when it comes to, all I need is a kezayis, just a kezayis to eat. So to get a kezayis of basar, I have to shech the entire animal. So you're allowed to shech the entire animal for that kezayis, which I'm going to, again, convince myself to eat. There's one last tosos here. It's an interesting tosos, the very bottom line. Tosos di ramascha rabba. We don't have to do the whole tosos, but two lines from the bottom. Tosos says as follows. The last word, he says, v'im tomar. V'im is the second, again, two lines from the bottom. V'im tomar. Yi amin ho'il. If you say ho'il, im kein butlas kol mlechas Shabbos, you could undo all mlechas Shabbos. Why? Hol v'roi l'chol ha'sheish bo sakana. When it comes to chol ha'sheish bo sakana, a sick person who's in very bad danger, so you're allowed to do anything to save his life. Anything on Shabbos, at least, you could do to save his life. So that ho'il exists, since the rabbi holds of ho'il, you could say, let me cut this tree down, because a sick person might need it. Ho'il. Says the Gemara, says Tosis rather, v'yesh lomar kerim de lo shriach klal lo amin ho'il. No. It's very unlikely, very rare that you're going to find a ho'il sheyesh b'sakana, so therefore you can't just undo every single melacha. But it's more likely, apparently, that a guest might walk into your house, so therefore you can cook a yontif, because that potential is more likely. But having someone sick is not really very likely. Other answers are given as well as to answer Tosa's question here. So others say that the Marma Chalava answers as follows. The Bishul Anyantif is only us, that Maisa is only Bishul if at the end you don't end up eating Anyantif. But the actual cooking is Mutter. Unless someone doesn't eat it at the end of the day. When it comes to a chola, however, if there's no chola right now, the actual melacha is usur. The melacha is only permitted if there's a chola right now. So right now when I'm doing it, if there's no chola, the melacha is usur. The fact there might be a chola in a few minutes, that doesn't help. I have to have a chola right now present for the melacha to be mutter. Again, but in terms of the cooking on Yom Tov, I could cook even though there's no guest. And if a guest comes before Yom Tov is over, my melacha was completely permitted. So you have to view everything during the time of the melacha. Was it usher or was it mutter? That's how Marma Chalava says to view it, and that's how he gets out of this kasha neptosis. Okay, we'll stop here. And
this behemah hamasukenis.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that considered a trade?